Last week we spoke about Flat Stanley. Flat Stanley is a highly intelligent, sincere young man who goes through the motions in Avodas Hashem. It reminded me of a morbid joke, and I warn you, it's a morbid joke. There was a 100-year-old and a 98-year-old that come into court, to divorce court, to get a divorce. And the judge goes through the whole process. He says, you know, they're really not getting along. And he executes the divorce. As they're about to leave, the judge says, I just have one question. He says, why did you wait so long? I mean, you guys have been going through an awful marriage for 50 years. So they turn to the judge and they say, we're waiting for the children to die. So there's some people, unfortunately, that are going through life of Avodas Hashem, not, God forbid, waiting for someone to die, but they're waiting for those responsibilities to sort of fall away. And I encourage you to go back to last week and to think about, in our Amachei Varm, in our Shasagidim, where are we Flat Stanleys? But most of us here, in our general essence, are not that. Most of us here want, coming towards Yom Noraim, coming towards the night of Slichas, many of us want to feel Kedusha and Tahara. But there's a Yeyush, there's a part of us that says you can't do it. And the reason we say to ourselves we can't do it is because we did the exact same thing last year. We wanted to change. We tried to change, and then we're honest with ourselves. We're back at the exact same place. Now, I'm not even talking about those averus and mitzvahs that we got a little bit better. That's amazing. It could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's gold of golden. But what about those things that were in the exact same place, or chas v'chalil, even worse? So I want to share with you a shtickl Torah that I heard, a very straightforward approach from one of the tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, a tremendous Baal Avodah, Rabbi Yaakov Katz, that he taught us a Me'iri. The Me'iri in the Chibur HaTshuva says some, describes exactly what we just said in fascinating words. V'zeh hashov. You and I, who are going to do tshuva, afal pisha machshavto zakov v'nikia beis tshuvasoi ligmar bedaitoi lebal yosef yava barchet v'ava. He wants to no longer sin. Yet, yichabed es libo beis hayos harvacha v'yoshuv yishane bavlaso. He goes back. Says the Me'iri, ubei shalvaso yachzir lesuro v'yimrod bashem. V'zeh signon ra ma'od. His style is off. When I was a kid, Gant was in style. Gant is not in style now. The Me'iri says he's doing everything right, but his style is off. What does that mean? And if we could figure out what the right style of tshuva is, then the Me'iri is telling us we could be in a totally different place next year. So let's ask ourselves, how does tshuva work? Zok de'elig in Mesilas Yesharim. One sentence from the Mesilas Yesharim, Perek Dalet. V'shehatshuva tinasein lachoitim b'chesed gomur. Let's understand those words. Tshuva is a tremendous gift that God gives us, because of course it allows us to go back in time and change what we were. It's gone. The avera is gone. And what is tshuva? Shetachshoiv akiras haratzon ke akiras hamaisa. That we consider the akiras haratzon, uprooting the will, as if he uprooted the maisa. We're going to deduce. How does the Mesilas Yesharim describe akiras haratzon? He doesn't speak about changing one's actions. He speaks about the ratzon, the deep down desire, even the subconscious desire of the person. Rav Katz pointed out that in Tehillim, Perek Ayin Ches, we have the famous words, V'urachum yichapar avon v'lo yashchis v'yir b'al shivapa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us for our sins. But the Pasuk also says those people went back and did averos. And here the pasuk adds the final piece to signal Ramaod. V'libam loy nachoin imoy. Their hearts weren't entirely straight. In other words, they desired that their maisim change, but there was something missing in their life. Over and over, our struggle of becoming better people should not be about changing our maisim. At its core, a person has to ask, where is his heart? Where is his life? There's a famous Din Torah. The Din Torah is 3,000 years old. It was brought to Shlomo HaMelech. There were two mothers. Each one said that the baby belongs to them. Shlomo HaMelech turned to one of them and said, okay, we'll cut the baby in half. That woman said, absolutely. The other woman screams out, absolutely not. Shlomo HaMelech turns to her and says, you're the mother, the one who said, absolutely not. Legend has it that 250 years ago in Europe, I've told the Talmidim in the past, there was a fight over a shidduch. There was a great boy. And there were two mothers who claimed that their daughter was engaged to that great boy. So the Rav suggested the exact same thing as Shlomo HaMelech and said, we'll cut the boy in half. The mother of one girl said, absolutely. The other one said, absolutely not. And he turned to the mother and said, absolutely. And said, you're the mother-in-law. Why do I mention that now? There were two Talmidim that came to Reb Chaim. Both of them had kashas of emunah in Volozhin. Reb Chaim sat with one of them and he tried to answer their questions. By the way, I don't believe there's such a thing as proofs in emunah, but terutzim there are, explanations there are. And there was another Talmud and Reb Chaim said, I can't talk to him. He said to him, Rebbe, what's the difference? Why, how do you choose which Talmud to cut and which Talmud not to cut? Said Reb Chaim, one Talmud had kashas, one Talmud had questions, and it's fair for a young man to have questions, and it's okay for my older Talmud and a young Talmud to have kashas. One of my best Talmudim last year from the Kollel, one of the Avreichim, had real, serious, beautiful questions in Emunah, and he's a real Ben Torah. It's okay for kashas to the first boy, says Reb Chaim, they're terutzim. But Reb Chaim said in Yiddish, but for answers, you can't give answers to answers. Is this boy, where's his heart? Does his heart really want? Does his heart really want to know? Or is he justifying through his pu'ulos something that was already in his heart? Who you're going to cut all depends on where the heart is. Their hearts weren't in exactly the right place. One of the tremendous avodas we've mentioned in previous years that Talmidim have, and you're healthy and normal if you have this struggle, is the Torah HaKadosh says, that's called Shmiras Einayim. Begin to watch your eyes. And Rabosai, it's a tremendous struggle. If we're honest with ourselves. But Rashi HaKadosh says, Ha'ayin roa ha'leiv choy meid va'gufoy se'averos. The eye see, the heart desires, and the body does averos. The chura, the pasuk, then is backwards. What Rashi is describing is true. The eye sees, then the heart desires. But if that's so, then why does the Torah say, V'loy sasuru achrei levavchem achrei neichem? It should say, V'loy sasuru achrei neichem. The order that Rashi had, the ayin first and then the lev. Based on Rav Chanan Vasim and Rav Chaim's principal Talmidim, one could suggest that the teretz is as follows. The Avera of Shmiras Einayim doesn't start, as Rav Katz taught us, with Einayim. It starts with the lev. Rashi's describing the Pu'ulas Avera. The Ruach Avera starts with the heart. What does the heart truly want? And this is the practical application of what we're talking about tonight. This is the Signan Rav Ma'od of the Me'iri. Where is our lev? Does our lev really, really want that shinui? Does the lev deep down want a life of Kedusha? Or do you want to be Kadosh when you're in the Beis HaMedrash and be a little bit different on Thursday night, Friday afternoon? Most of the week, yes, around your Abayim and so on and so forth. My brother may be well, who's now, I think he doesn't wear glasses because he's medagdik on Shmir Seinayim. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, my baby brother. It's great when your little brother already passes you. When we were younger, we used to watch football, and the football game has cheerleaders. And my brother said to me once, in pure tmimus, said to me, Chaim, did you ever notice that during the game, there are a lot of spectators that are watching the cheerleaders, but the players, you'll never see them watch the cheerleaders. What's the pshat? So when he got older, he said to me, I'll tell you what the pshat is. The question is where the heart is. That player knows that if his heart is going to be the game for 3 hours, then he knows he could do whatever he wants the rest of the week. So all he has to do is have his lave, his heart in the game for those 3 hours. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to us, I will help you. It's a little bit harder than the football player. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects a little bit more from us, not just 3 hours a week. He wants us to start with 4 and then 5 and then 6 and then eventually 24/7. Slowly. Not necessarily this year, but maybe next year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm asking you where you're going to put that lave. And the lave is a desire for a person to have eyes that are a little bit more holy. Person goes on the bus and he says, that's it. My Rebbe spoke to me about Kedusha, and that's it. I'm not going to be Nichshal anymore. He could bring the biggest Gemara onto the bus, but at the end of the day, if he doesn't desire to be an entity of Kedusha, a mohus of Kedusha, then ultimately it's not going to last as much as you try to cover your eyes, because ultimately the wave is going to beat out every struggle with the guf. So that's avoda number one. Do we want to live Tafshin Ayin Hey as a year of Kedusha? That our Ramach, Ivarim, and Shesagidim should be full of Kedusha. Number two, every single one of us, if we're honest, knows, and let's not use the Hebrew word because it sounds too frum, Lashon Hara. A gossiper, someone who constantly goes around, I look at some of your Rabbeim, what fine people they are when it comes to speech. And Rabbosai, they have to judge many more, they're in much more stickier situations than you are in. Both the Talmidim and the Kolel, as well as the younger Talmidim. Everybody begins to internalize the idea that the one who goes and is constantly gossiping around other people, that's not a person. That's not a person who speaks in an elevated way. But what's going to happen? We know that we want to change Lashon Hara. So we try to stop speaking Lashon Hara. It's gatenish. It doesn't go. You know why it doesn't go? Because we started V'libam lo nachan imo, signon ramo, to try to change the pu'ula. That's not where it is. A she'ifa, an aspiration for a mouth that's holy. Watch how Rav Miller speaks. Watch how Rav Nevensal speaks. Read about how Rav Shlomo Zalman spoke. A mouth of Kedusha. Oh! Now that's Signon Tov Mo'o. That's a style. The third thing that everyone should make a Cheshvan Nefesh, we're here in Yeshiva, we're here in a Kailal, we're here in a Yeshiva. Bittul Torah. And there's not a lot of justification. You know, our fathers, may they be well, they have better excuses than we do when they're Mevatel Torah. They're juggling a million and one things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given every single person in this room a tremendous gift to be surrounded, shifti beveis Hashem, to be surrounded by the walls of Torah. But how many who were here a year before didn't accomplish as much as they wanted to in terms of Bittul Torah? If you're going to have a demon, if you're going to have an albatross around your shoulder, an eagle standing on your shoulder that's going to say, no Bittul Torah, no Bittul Torah, no Bittul Torah. That's the pu'ulas. But what about a desire to become someone who's a Talmud Chacham? Read the Lashon HaRambam about the beauty of a Talmud Chacham. Forget about Bittul Torah for a second. The only way you could become a Talmud Chacham is if you're not Mevatel Torah. The beauty of a person who's a Talmud Chacham. To decide, where is my lev? Is my lev looking for something that's mundane, standard? Or is my peh looking for something that's kadosh? My einayim that are looking for something that's more lofty? And my essence, to be an essence of a Talmud Chacham. If you shoot for the stars, you could get there. I have a Talmud who's about to become a very prominent Rav on the West Coast in the United States. He started off no different than the quote-unquote worst Shana Aleph guy that's in this room. But he said to me, he realized when he was in yeshiva, the message that we, as our Rabbeim, gave to him was that he could become something great. And then his lev said, his heart said, you know what? I could have a mouth like this. I could have a goof like this. And I could have a seicha like this. Be'ezer Hashem, this year we should be zocha to a real style. And Be'ezer Hashem, be zocha to a lev that comes even before the einayim. A lev that's full of tahara.